And he simply asked me this question, what caused them to be amazed? And I said, power and authority. And he said, what's the difference between the two? And not only did he ask me, what's the difference between the two? He says, have you ever been amazed at authority?
Don't touch that dial. Stay a while and listen to the great things that God is doing in the world today. Come fly with Global Air Force. Now, here's your host.
Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force. I'm Jim Rome. On today's broadcast, we are honored to hear from the late John Paul Jackson as he delivers a message at Ignite the Flame conference. He will answer your questions in your heart and ignite a flame in you. So here he is, John Paul Jackson.
Thank you. I am glad to be here. What an honor it is for me to be here, and I don't say that lightly. The issue of us having the presence of the Holy Spirit, the oil of the Holy Spirit. I know a lot of people who have the oil of the Holy Spirit, but I don't know as near as many that have the flame of the Holy Spirit. See, there's one thing to have the oil in the lamp. There's another thing to have the lamp lit. My desire is that all the branches would be lit, that we would be a flame in the presence of God at a level that maybe we hadn't previously been. And maybe turn up, if all of our branches are lit, turn up the pressure of the oil and maybe make the branches or the flame bigger. I think what happened on the day of Pentecost was the igniting of an oil. And that's why it started with the flame. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 4. And it seems the Holy Spirit wanted me to talk to you about something that has not been distinguished very much in, at least in current church culture. And even in the Bible, when they look at these two issues, the issue of authority and the issue of power, they don't do a great job of translating the two words. One is exousia, authority, and the other is dunamis, power. I was raised in a Pentecostal environment. And in that Pentecostal environment, we focused a lot on power, on dunamis. And everything was dunamis. Everything was power. Everything was pretty explosive. And we overlooked the second aspect of it, and that is authority. I know the power of God, and I say I know it. I know it within limitations. I mean, who of us knows all the power of God? I mean, we have an omnipotent God that is all powerful. So if you think of all the power, I don't even understand the power of the sun, let alone the power of the God who made that sun. So there are limitations in our understanding, but I've been raised in an arena of we want power. And for years I would pray asking God for more power, more power. We want more power, and we do. But I left out a very important issue. And then one day in my study, as I was studying the Word of God, he began to deal with me about that. And it was very, very simple. Very simple in the reading, and just asked me a question as I was reading this passage. And so in verse 32, it says this of Luke chapter 4, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. And verse 36, then they were all amazed and spoke amongst themselves, saying, what a word this is, for with authority and power. He commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. Oh, wow. And he simply asked me this question, what caused them to be amazed? And I said, power and authority. And he said, what's the difference between the two? And not only did he ask me, what's the difference between the two? He says, have you ever been amazed at authority? And I said, no, I don't think I have. And he said, find out why. I want you to find out why you've not been amazed. And in the journey of finding out why, I began to realize I didn't understand it. And I didn't know what it took to get it. And I didn't know how it was used and why Jesus was the example of authority and power and what that meant in my life. So I began this journey of finding out things. That's what I want to talk to you about. I was raised thinking that healing and miracles, the difference between healing and miracles was that healing takes time and miracles are instant. But then I realized, when I read the Bible, Jesus healed this person instantly. And I thought, well, that can't be the definition, even though that's kind of what I've been taught. That really can't be the clearest definition of the distinction between healing and miracles, because I see where healings take place instantly. So what is the distinction? Because I think once entwined in the distinction between healings and miracles is the understanding of power and authority. What I discovered is this: in every case, in Scripture, when Jesus performed a miracle, he did it with power. And whenever Jesus healed someone or delivered someone, that's why deliverance is considered healing in the Bible and part of healing, and he healed them, and it says, and cast out demons. So you find out that healing is the removal of something and involves authority, and miracles is the creation of something or the regeneration of something and involves power. Miracles are the power side. Healings are the authority side. So when we take a look through Scripture, we start examining what was going on here. We find there that in this issue, this exousia, let's take authority first. In this exousia, we find out that authority is the obvious, supernatural, highest judicial control possible. I started out in ministry, casting out demons. I was in a corporate world, doing really, really good. Thought I was going to be some CEO or some COO of some major corporation, or even start my own corporation. Suddenly that came to an end one day when my boss was fired trying to make a political move to become a senior VP and lost. And so they cleaned house and I was part of the house cleaning. I was the first guy on the totem pole in the cleaning process. And so in that, I didn't know what to do, and the Lord had been dealing with me about going into the ministry. And I thought, well, I haven't been trained. I really can't go into ministry. And he said, I want you to go into ministry. So I said, well, what do I do? And he said, I want you to go to this man and tell him what's going on and ask him if you can use two offices of his. And he will tell you, yes, you can, if you've remodeled them, because they need remodeling and he wants them remodeled. So I went to that man and I said, here's what's going on and here's what I'd like to do. And he said, well, you can have these offices if you'll remodel them. And I go, wow, there is a God. This is really true. So I started remodeling them, and I said, now, Lord, what do I do? And he says, I want you to take people through deliverance. And I go, what's that? He says, I want you to listen to them, and I want you to listen to my Holy Spirit. And when he says, that shouldn't be there, you command it to come out. And so I go, okay. How do I command it to come out? He said, just say, in the name of Jesus, I command you, spirit of such and such, come out. Said, okay. So that's what I was going to do. And so we finished the remodeling of the offices, and we put a sign up on the door called the Deliverance Clinic. Thought it was rather catchy. And so nobody's there. We just stuck a sign on the door. And the first person that walks through the door is this woman. She's 9 months pregnant. And She says, is this one of those new type of birthing places, you know, where you can deliver your baby underwater? And I go, no, wrong type of deliverance here. That you're talking delivery, I'm talking deliverance. And so I embarked on this journey of casting out spirits and demons, just listening to the Holy Spirit, having no clue what I'm doing, other than believing that if the Holy Spirit spoke, I would hear Him, and that if He spoke, it was real and true, and if I would do what He said, it would work. And it worked. And it worked. Seeking God, and that's what I call stumbling upon some things. In God's divine providence, we stumble on things. We get to do things we have no clue how to do, but because we listen, we can do. We tap into this incredible source of understanding and knowledge and power, the greatest that exists, ever has, ever exists now, and ever will. It is remarkable. Sometimes we get too fixated on what we need to know in order to make something happen. Faith seems, as I'm getting older, I begin to realize that faith is not necessarily having all the knowledge, but it's believing what you're told from the Word, from God. So I don't want to make things really complicated. I want to make things simple. So in talking about these two words, I don't want to complicate your life. I want to make things simpler. I want to take something that we tend to make very complicated and sophisticated and make it very simple and easy to understand. So this exousia is more judicial in nature. It is authority in nature. I discovered you don't have to yell at the demon. I used to think you had to yell at the demon to get him to come out. The louder you yell, he finally couldn't stand your yelling, and so he'd leave. And then I realized it had nothing to do with yelling. It had nothing to do with volume. It had everything to do with authority. And that it's this authority that Jesus used and had. And when he walked by people who were demonized, the demons responded, and Jesus hadn't said a word yet. This authority. What started me on this track of this message was I had this dream. And in this dream, I was watching people come into a church, and I thought they had backpacks. All the people had backpacks on at first, until I looked closer and I discovered these backpacks were actually demonic forces clinging to the shoulders and hunched on the back of the person. And I thought, how could this be? They're going into church. How could this be? I mean, when they walk through the doors, won't they shriek and fall off? And they didn't. And in fact, ministry went on and everything was fine. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, how could these demonic forces stay on these people, not shriek and shrill and so on? He said, because my people don't understand the difference between power and authority. Demons have power, but they lost their authority in the fall. And whenever we try to use power to remove them, it's power against power. It is Michael and Satan fighting against each other over the body of Moses until something happened and Michael invoked the authority of the Father and Satan released him. When Satan fell, he never lost his power, but he did lose his authority. And we're going to find out why shortly. Well, so this judicial authority, this ability to declare a sentence and it happened. That's what exousia is. Dunamis, on the other hand, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. This dunamis, the root word for dynamite, this explosive nature. It's creative. It can be disheveling. It's a supernatural strength to noticeably change the visible world. Dunamis noticeably makes changes. So why don't we see more of this in our lives today? Why don't when we walk down the aisles, people, demons shriek? Why don't we have the same things that happened to Jesus? Either there's no more demons in the world, or something is missing in us, or we're not appropriating something that we have. We can be a general and act like a corporal, and the world will respond to us as a corporal. Matthew 6:13 talks about this. In the last of the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from the evil one, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I found out that glory comes because God can do something no man can do. If a man can do it, then there's no glory in it for God. If man can do it, then it makes God merely man. Or it makes man God simply a higher life force that man can one day evolve or become like. But I don't believe that. I think there's a distinction, and what I've come to understand is this, that kings rule through authority. They conquer through power. So when you think in terms of the kingdom, yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever, when you think in these terms, you think in terms of, okay, that authority rules in the kingdom, but power expands the kingdom. So when Jesus says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he's letting them know the kingdom is about to expand. And whenever he told the disciples, go out and heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, and tell them the kingdom has come near to you, kingdom of God has come near to you, then he's letting them know the kingdom's about to expand. It is expanding. Power is used to expand the kingdom. But within the kingdom, in order to have maintenance of the kingdom and in order to keep things functioning properly, there is a system of authority. And in our judicial system, you break the law. The authority within the kingdom is you end up going to jail if you break that law. That outside of the kingdom, you have no authority. The policeman can go to Mexico and try to arrest somebody, but they have no authority and they can't arrest that person. You cannot exercise authority where you don't have it. Within the kingdom, you have authority. Outside the kingdom, you may not have that authority unless it's given to you. So we have to begin to understand this dunamis is not just explosive in nature, but it is entirely creative in nature because the angel came to Mary and said to Mary in Luke 1, he said this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power, the dunamis of the Most High will overshadow you. It is as gentle as inseminating an egg. It's as explosive as dynamite or the day of Pentecost when nobody was standing. And finally, when they all came to their senses, Peter stood up and said, men and brethren. What was he doing before he stood up? They were all knocked down. So it's important to understand that in its basis, then power is creative and authority is the removal of something. It is removal of, it can be the removal of a demon. It can be the removal of a germ. It can be the removal of a virus. It can be the removal of bacteria, but it's always the removal of something. Some of the distinctions then of this issue of power, power is a gift. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The gifts of the Holy Spirit came out of that gift of power, that gift of dunamis. The nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, all of them came out of that gifting, that initial gifting of this Holy Spirit. You did nothing to deserve it. If you did something to deserve power, then it wouldn't be a gift, would it? It would be a reward. But authority is not so. Authority is bestowed upon you. And authority is only as good as the authority who gave it to you. I can give you authority, but it's not going to be recognized anywhere. God can give you authority, and it can be recognized everywhere. So the higher the authority that is the source of the bestower, then the greater your authority becomes. So it's, how do you do that? If power is given to you as a gift, how do you get authority? You have to come close to the one who is all authority. The closer you get to that authority, the more authority you have. Authority, especially spiritual authority, is being in the presence or near proximity to the one who has authority. So you might say authority is only as deep and as good as your relationship with God. You see, I can be given a gift of power and I can use that gift whether I serve God or not because the gifts of God are irrevocable. Now that may shock you, but you see a clear demonstration of that in Matthew chapter 7. And in Matthew chapter 7, you have men who said, Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we heal in your name? Didn't we prophesy in your name? And Jesus said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity or lawlessness, I never knew you. See, they had a gift from God, but they did not use it to bring glory to God, but to themselves. And so what we have to watch out for is this, even as it says in Scripture, in the last days, even the very elect could be deceived. We have to make sure that we understand that power, we have to look at the source. Is this source of power really God, or are they bringing glory to themselves? What are they doing? Because I'm really concerned that nowadays we're getting to a place where if they have power, then it surely has to be God. And I admit the gift may be from God, but that doesn't mean that they're from God. But authority, on the other hand, is not gift-based. Authority can be lost, it can be gained. Authority, because you're in proximity to God, the closer you get to Him, the more authority you have. Conversely, the further away from Him, the less authority you have. And this is what happened with Satan when he fell. You see, Satan was close to God. If we recognize that Ezekiel 28 is probably talking about, not about the king of Tyre, but about Satan who fell. And by the way, Satan is not a name. Satan is a title. Did you know that? Yeah, Satan is not a name. God removed that cherubim's name and called him in Hebrew as Ha-Satan, meaning the Satan. It is not a name. It's a title. Nobody knows his name. God removed his name. Well, so the Satan, I would just say Satan. So Satan, the covering cherub, garments of gold, 9 precious stones, all decorating this garment of gold that he had, covering of the sanctuaries of heaven. He violated all of that, and he was removed. And he had highest authority of any cherubim that was there. And when he left proximity, he lost his authority. He lost it. Because it was not a gift. It is proximity centric. Close to God, more authority. Further away from God, less authority. Power, not so. Power, you got power whether you're close to God, whether you're not. And this is why we can see men and women who fall away from God still operating in power after they have fallen. Are you tracking with me? So, how do we get authority? Yes, you get close to God. How do you get close to God? Well, here's a little key we need to understand. You don't get closer to God by disobeying Him. Pretty simple. You get closer to God by obedience. When you disobey, you distance yourself from Him. It doesn't mean He loves you less, but it certainly means you're not close. So, man lost his authority in the garden through disobedience. Satan lost his authority in heaven through disobedience. He was removed from heaven. Now, when he was removed, 2 things happened to Satan himself. One, he was a radiant being because he was close to God and he absorbed God's light. Like Moses, up on the mountain, absorbed the light of God, comes down from the mountain, radiating God's light so strongly that they ask him to cover his head because it's hurting their eyes. So the closer you get to God, you absorb that. Satan had absorbed that light. But here's the opposite end. When you are removed from God, the light dims because you're removed from the source. With Satan, he not only was removed from God, he is continually being removed from him. And that's why you find in Scripture, there is darkness, deep darkness, gross darkness, outer darkness, each describing an increasing distance from God. It's not just Satan left God. He is continually leaving God. Picture this. You're up in space and you get jettisoned out of your spaceship. You just keep going and going and going. That's what's happening with Satan. Now, not only is he getting darker, he left the source of life. And in leaving the source of life, then he began to deteriorate the further away from God he got. So the once glorious visage that he had now is getting shriveled and prune-like. And that's why in Scripture it reads, it says this, Isaiah says, "And the men will say of you, you are the one who caused all this." It's like, look at you, shriveled nothing. How did you cause all this? Because his current glory is not near what his former glory was. And if you can even say he has a glory. Sometimes the lack of glory is a glory. It's like negative glory. So authority is a result of obedience. So when we obey, then we draw closer. When we obey, we get closer to him. Man lost his authority through disobedience, and therefore, how did he do that? How did man lose his authority? Because here's how. God said, don't eat of that tree. Here's the rules of the garden. Eat of everything you see except that tree. Don't eat of that tree. You can eat of everything, don't eat of that tree. Very, very simple. It's not like complex. This is not like rocket science here. Don't eat that tree, eat of that tree. So what does man do? Eats of that tree. Disobedience. And why did he eat of that tree? He ate of that tree because he believed what Satan said, our serpent, more than God. He chose this lie over this truth. I can become like God. I can know as much as God. God doesn't want me to know as much as him. God doesn't want me to be like him. Therefore, God's hiding all this knowledge and everything from me by telling me, don't eat of that tree. So man, in believing Satan, then lost his authority with God. And guess who got that authority? Satan got the authority. How do we know Satan got that authority? Luke chapter 4. Jesus returns from the wilderness, returns from being tempted for 40 days. In his final, like at the very end of that time period, Satan appears to him. And does three things. He tempts Jesus with the same three things he tempted Adam and Eve with: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And he tempts him this way. He says, "Can't make these stones bread. There's lust of the flesh. Cast yourself down from here, and the angels will catch you. Pride of life. And see, oh, by the way, take a look and see all of this out there, all these kingdoms. See all these kingdoms and their glory. I will give you all this authority because it's been delivered to me. I will give you what? All this authority over all these cities and everything because it's been delivered to me." Who delivered it to him? Adam and Eve in the garden. For 4,000 years, he had authority over the earth. All the kingdoms, all the cities, everything, he had the authority over. Lust of the eyes, by the way. See eyes, all these kingdoms. And their authority, I'll give it to you.
That message that you heard today was from the late John Paul Jackson, the founder of Streams Ministry International. For more resources by John Paul Jackson and Streams Ministry, or information about the ongoing ministry of Streams, please visit www.streamsministries.com, or you could call at 1-888-441-8080. That is a toll-free number. So, my friend, until we meet again, God bless you.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force.